Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's right. Nick Wilson, everybody.
Hi. Now that everybody knows, listen, I've set the expectation here. I'm going to be the worst golfer today.
Oh, no, we'll be close.
Oh, no, but the reason why I set that expectation is if I end up having a good round here, well, then I'll feel better about myself.
Yeah.
But if I just say I'm horrible to start, well, then nobody can be surprised.
Let me be honest with you. Set the bar at 0-16. It'll all feel good.
Yep. I'm not even going 1-15. I will go straight up 2017 Cleveland Browns.
There you go.
That's fabulous.
Life is good after that, right?
So can I share one thing with you?
Sure.
I've heard some people say, and I think, really? Everybody's all fired up about either in a good way or a bad way about the Cavs drafting somebody last night at mm-hmm. number 8. Weren't you supposed to draft somebody last night? I mean, you did have a pick in the draft, and you're supposed to draft somebody or do something with it.
This
and
is
last
correct.
Night was the opportunity to draft someone.
Yes, had you not drafted someone, other people would have started drafting in front of you with the way the draft
works. Had you
forfeited
the pick, that would have been bad. Am I not
yes.
correct?
Now listen, I I'm on both sides of this somehow because I like Colin Sexton as a draft prospect.
Yes, I do.
People act as if, well, he is not a prolific shooter, so he can't score. That's actually not true at all.
Not the
he's,
least bit
he's
true.
Very adept at scoring on the inside, and when you talk to the personality, I do think he has the personality to and the work ethic, the grittiness, if you will. Eric Wedge just got fully torqued somewhere listening to that. But no, I do think he has the personality to do it. But I also understand how right now the Cleveland Cavaliers have told you what they're probably going to do, which is they're probably going to wait until they have the opportunity to pitch LeBron, and they're going to allow that to be the thing that makes the decision on their offseason. I'm a little bit – I don't necessarily like that. That makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I know there are other people saying you
what
don't want to lock
What aspect of that makes you uncomfortable?
Because I would rather you help make LeBron's decision for him. I would rather you go out there and get the player now. And because the worst-case scenario to me is then you have Kevin Love and Kemba Walker, and you even if without LeBron James, that I think would be a good enough team where you can try it for a half season. If it doesn't work out, you have two valuable pieces at the deadline.
I think it's interesting that you see it that way because I don't think the Cavs see it that way.
Oh, no, I think last night showed you they don't. I agree.
I think the Cavs are doing what they want to do, and if LeBron's going to be a part of it, he's going to be a part of it.
And that scares me.
Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, at some point you've got to.
How long are you going to do the dance?
Yeah, I mean, we've done the dance forever, but I know it's LeBron.
You act as if this is like the tango of death. It's the dance to keep LeBron James.
I know, but at some point, and I think he stays.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved following him. We all love what we see. It's been one of the greatest eras of Cleveland sports. But at some point, hey, do you want to play here or not? Let us know and. Then we go. I mean, I don't know a whole lot more mm-hmm. than an organization can do than spend the most possible money and make deals to try and keep the guy here, which is what they've done. I hope he stays. I think he will. I think he likes it here. I think he likes the organization. But at some point, tell us what you want to do. Are you gonna play? You're gonna stay? Or you're gonna go?
But see, I think the problem is with because I certainly understand where you're coming from. I think the problem with that is. Do we really think LeBron James has made up his decision? I've heard people say that LeBron is holding the Cavs hostage. No, LeBron is exercising his right and
sure.
looking at the options.
And he's allowed.
And he's allowed to. But I think the problem is people saying, well, he should have his decision already. We don't know what Kawhi's future is. We don't know what Paul George's future is. And I'll be honest, I don't know that LeBron, even though we know how the NBA works, a lot of these guys are going to figure out their future here in the next week or so, until some of the dominoes fall. I don't know that LeBron will know what his decision is going to be. And this idea that, oh, man, it's a burden with LeBron and you got to –
Well, it's not a burden.
I do think – I wasn't saying that's what you were saying. But I do think it's interesting how people act as if the mentality here of the last 3 years or the first 3 years of LeBron being back, which is every year we're going to try and compete for a championship, how the change in mentality to say, oh, well, we're going to focus on youth and we're going to do this – I understand why it came about. Still,
they've never focused on youth.
Well, they did at the deadline.
Not really.
That Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance.
You focused on young guys who weren't half dead.
Well, but you also focused on young guys who hadn't had playoff experience, who hadn't really produced in that moment, and that bit you.
I can't argue with that. But what they did, you think Amon Shumpert was going to help you win a title this year?
No, but I thought
Dwayne Wade could have helped you win. I can't tell you that I thought Derrick Rose would have, and I really like Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. I thought Derrick might work, and I don't know that it did. That's the thing. At some point, and if you're the organization, I almost think you have to look at it this way, Nick, is that last time you were all in, to use a past phrase,
mm-hmm. right.
You were all in, and you got left holding the bag. This year, if LeBron decides to take off, you do have some young talent that you can go out and play some basketball with and hopefully win some games and be more competitive than you were when he left 8 years ago.
But isn't that the Cavs seeing their own shadow and getting spooked by their own shadow?
No, I don't think so, because what does LeBron want around him? Does he want a lot of veterans who he has to drag to the finish line, or does he want some young athletic guys who can help him get there?
Well, what does LeBron prioritize, though? He's prioritized veterans who he can trust.
And how has that worked for him here?
Well, he won one title in 3 years,
right.
And they would have. We don't know what could have happened if Kyrie Irving had been back.
They lost in five.
Well, but when we say we lost in five, and this year you lost in four, that is also looking at the way Golden State was playing that year, and quite frankly, the way the Cavaliers were playing in that year. It's reductive to say, well, you lost one game by losing Kyrie Irving. That's not entirely true.
No, I'm not looking at it from games. You lost the series. That's really all that matters. You had Kyrie Irving, and you beat the Golden State Warriors when they did not have Kevin Durant. You had Kyrie Irving, and you lost to the Golden State Warriors when they had Kevin Durant. If Kyrie was on this team this year, and the other guys that they brought in at the trade deadline weren't, my guess is you're still losing to Golden State because you had no bench.
But what was the one thing that the Cavaliers missed in the games that they – because they were competitive with six guys playing in the first three games, right? What's the one thing they missed? That second volume score, the second disruptor.
Why were they competitive in those games? Because they had more depth than they had the year before when they had no bench at all. You had Kyrie, and you still lost in five.
Oh, well, they had so more depth, but how many guys did they play?
What do you want? You want the depth? You want – but you can't have it both ways unless you can make it work, and that's what they're trying to do now.
I just look at this and I say, from the second they decided to trade Kyrie, the most important part from the organizational standpoint in the Kyrie trade was the Brooklyn pick. And I think LeBron James, you know, we talk about, well, you don't want to be left holding the bag. Well, if you had just continued to operate in the mentality that this organization had been for the first 3 years LeBron had been back, I don't think you would have been left holding the bag. Because, again, as we've talked about, LeBron loves those signs that the team is trying to compete. As long as you're giving him that opportunity and trying to build the roster to compete. No, I think that last year, I think the Kyrie Irving trade was a step back. And then I think you had to, at the deadline, you had to clean yourself up a little bit. So is do I think that Rodney Hood and
Jordan
Clarkson
are
better than Isaiah Thomas and Amon Shumpert? Yes. But why were you in that position in the first place? Because you decided to trade Kyrie Irving.
Why did you trade Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, that's where I was going
because
with this.
Because Kyrie Irving said he wanted the hell out.
Yeah, so did Kobe Bryant. LeBron James and Ty Lue both said they wanted to have Kyrie Irving here and to be able to have that
maybe
and hash that out.
Maybe they could have worked on it more. I'm just
there's a reason why Kyrie didn't want to be here, right?
You're right. What was it?
Yeah, the thing was it
he
was
wants
destabilized.
To be the man.
Well, no, but see, okay. Do we think that if the organization isn't destabilized by David Griffin leaving, do we think that everything plays out the way it is, knowing the relationships in place?
I think there was a good chance that it still did.
I would probably see that differently.
Ask Danny Ainge how he feels about Kyrie Irving's future in Boston right now.
Well, but again, isn't that the price?
Kyrie's not committing to them either.
But isn't that the price you pay? Like we do,
there you go. That's the price you pay. So the Cavs decided not to play Kyrie's game, and they made a move. And clearly,
and they got worse.
Clearly, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
However, they made it back to the finals. They didn't win a game. They won a game with Kyrie. You shuffled the deck. You changed some pieces. This Kyrie trade is not going to be determined until you see what happens 2 or 3 years down the road. And you might not like that because you might think, well, then you're done with LeBron. But if the rumors were true that Kyrie said, well, I'm going to have my knee surgery and I'm going to just sit out the year. Well, what's that?
That's what Boston got this year. They got nothing in the end.
But again, I think that is where, whether it is LeBron, whether it is Griff, whether it is Lou, whether it's the relationship in general, we've seen, you know, Kobe had some pretty pointed threats about the situation in Los Angeles and going to Chicago. We continue to just get back to it. Feels like since that move, and really since Griff left, it just feels there's a little bit more instability there. And I don't know that I trust the organization for where they're going.
Why do you say instability?
Because you went from having David Griffin and you had the same pieces intact for, 3 years, and now you've got a new guy. And Kobe, listen, we don't know what Kobe is because we also hear that Dan Gilbert was the one wanting the one making the final decision on Kyrie.
Who probably makes the final decision on any major move. He's not bringing in the last guy.
I think Griff did a fine job here. I wish he had stayed on as general manager. Mm-hmm. Do you think Griff was telling Dan, nope, Dan, we're not doing that?
Do I think that he would have said that with Kyrie?
No, do you think he did that? He was GM of the team for a number of years.
Do you think he had power?
Do you think he had significantly more power than Kobe Altman?
Yes.
With
the way that the organization was run, with the singular focus every year, the lens of which every move was made through.
What was Kobe doing last year? Twiddling his thumbs?
Well, no, but was his primary thing focusing on this year and competing for a championship?
Yes.
So then again,
do you remember what he said?
The Boston pick
deadline
was the most important thing.
Do you remember what he said at the trade deadline? He said we were a dead team walking.
And
what did he do? He rejuvenated the team by making some moves. Do you think the Cavs
up the Cavs' own mess?
Do you think the Cavs are going to get to the finals if he doesn't make any moves at the trade deadline?
Yes. Because you still have LeBron James. What?
There's
what
no way
player?
That team's making the finals.
Let's say this. George Hill versus Dwayne Wade. Basically a wash in terms of what you got. Maybe Dwayne Wade gives you more in the playoffs. Because the other three guys were fairly non-existent in the playoffs. But, boy, they cheered like heck off the bench, didn't they?
Nance wasn't bad.
Larry Nance, when given the opportunity, was very good. And Rodney Hood, when he came back in after Ty Lue resuscitated
one
from
game.
The dead, was much better.
That's also Ty's decision, too.
That's Ty's decision. Who says he's going to play Derrick Rose? Who says he's going to play Isaiah Thomas, who couldn't go because he was done?
Well, I just think that I don't think there would have been a difference one way or another.
Interesting. Thanks for stopping by.
It's been fun. I really like arguing with you guys.
Well, I didn't get to argue. I just listened to you guys rattle back and forth.
Number to join us if you have any thoughts on all that nonsense. 216-578-0092.
Nick Wilson. Send your hate at NickWilson923.
Yeah, are you working tonight? No.
No, I'm off.
Playing
so
golf.
I'm golfing. If you'd like to see a large man golf terribly, I mean, I'm here, baby.
How was Jake last night?
Jake? Oh, no, he's good.
Chapman.
Chapman, yeah. You remember. You were.
He had to slow down at one point. I remember that was something I told him, slow down because he was excited. But, no, we had a great time.
Listen to the veteran over here. Slow down, young man.
All right, well, we're playing together today, so
there you,
I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be video.
We got to turn that into a podcast.
All right, boys,
maybe
have fun.
We should.
Go have fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.